Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
The sauce is the boss. Sheet Metal Workers Local 2. Demand metal excellence. Schneider Trucking. Now hiring drivers. Visit schneidertrucking.com. Capital Federal. True blue for over 125 years. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC. You've been listening to Kansas City Royals Baseball on the Royals Radio Network. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
This Odyssey Sports broadcast has been presented by Health Markets. Shop for health insurance your way.
Welcome into Vern's postgame show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
Oh, let's all take a collective deep breath. Some of us needed it a little bit more than others. And exhale. It is a final, ladies and gentlemen. The Royals are victorious. Win number one, and the phone lines are wide open. Let's talk about it. 913-586-7610. Here's what I want to know from you on this Easter Sunday. The excitement that you felt Thursday morning waking up, some of you making your way out here to Kauffman Stadium for opening day. That excitement that you felt that the boys in blue were back again. We're three games into the season, one series into the campaign. Has that excitement gone up, gone down, remained the same? Three games, 159 to play. We're all keyed up on opening day, right? We're all excited to make that pilgrimage back to the ballpark and see our guys begin that championship series. Begin that championship series, begin that championship season. Did not start the way that anyone would have hoped. But an 11-0 beatdown to send the Twins back home. I say it all the time. If you're going to win one game, win the finale. If you're going to win on any day of the week, win on Sunday. Let's start that work week right. Let's start that work week with an optimistic attitude towards the boys in blue. Again, the phone number, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals stay afloat and salvage one against the defending division champions. They stay afloat in their first dip into the deep end. Now, we were all hoping for 162-0. You can dream all you want, but if we're being honest, I know if I'm being honest, my desire was, don't drown. Get me through these first 6 weeks, maintain through May, and let's have some fun in the summer. I wanted one from the Twins. I want one from the O's. You got a split against the White Sox. Look, I'm not getting out ahead of the skis here. I might. We may get out ahead of our skis. I'll tell you this, if this starting rotation continues to do what they've done early on. Three straight quality starts, highlighted by Brady Singer. For all the talk of free agent acquisitions, Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo, last year's American League Pitcher of the Month, Cole Reagans, your opening day starter. It's the old reliable Brady Singer. We've done this so very often. Royals losing back-to-back games, maybe even on a losing streak, and our lonely eyes turn to Brady Singer. And quite often, in fact, more times than not, he picks his game up, stops the bleeding, and leads the boys to victory. He certainly did that today. Seven innings of three-hit baseball, 10 punch-outs, and only one walk. For a young man that is suddenly the second longest tenured Royal, that can't be right. And yet it is. I always begin with pitching, but the deep end, the beginning of this 2024 season, revolves around the offense. Because as I've thought coming into the season and throughout spring training, this is the most stability a Royals rotation has had since 2016. It's the most depth a Royals pitching staff has had in 8 years. The pressure's on the offense. They'll stay afloat if the offense allows it, and boy, the offense allowed it, plus some, today. A three-run blast from Salvador Perez as he comes up big in the first, and then in the second as well, with Bobby on third. Only one out, but that I thought was a real tone setter in the second inning. Salvi doing what he's done so often, and that is star stuff, Hall of Fame stuff, slow your heart rate and execute type of stuff. Bobby flirts with the cycle, and Michael Garcia flexing the swag after his second inning home run, his second bomb of the season. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Will is leaving the stadium. Will, you're going to hit leadoff tonight here on 610 Sports Radio as the boys win 11-0. Will, go ahead, buddy.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. I know the bats really stole the show today, but I really like what I've seen from the starting pitching so far this season. The stark difference between this season and last season with the starting pitching is some promising stuff, Vern. But we're going to get to the bats here because Jesus has risen from the dead, and so have the bats, baby. I am excited for what we got in store this season. 160-2, baby. Let's go, Royals. Thanks, Vern.
Let's keep it rolling. Jackson in Kansas City, you're on 610 Sports Radio as the boys pick up a win.
Hey, Vern. I'm just glad that we won first game of the season that we win. And just glad. I seen some guy gave his Bobby Witt Jr.'s first home run of the season to some little kid. So that was nice to see.
Wow.
Giveaway. Yeah.
That was a no-doubter from Bobby. That was a no-doubter, man. Thank you very much for the phone call, Jackson. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you participating. And, yeah, we all appreciate the fact that Bobby did what he did today, but also he did what he did a few months ago when he gave you and I and this organization his age 20 seasons. The prime, Bobby Witt Jr., is right here in Kansas City. The guy's still a month away from turning 24, and he almost had a cycle by the fourth inning. And they were ropes. A rope to left center field for a one-out single in the first. A triple to right center that we all knew the moment it left his bat, he's going to be standing on third base. And then a very Mike Trout-esque home run in the third. A 1-0 fastball down and in. Goes down, drops the bat head on it, and belts it to dead center field. 434 feet. A spot that some of you may remember. Mike Trout went right there. About, what was that, 6, 7, maybe even 8 years ago? I don't know. Time flies when you're having fun. And we were having fun today. Royals win 11-0. We'll head inside that Royals clubhouse coming up in just a moment. But first, let's go back to the phone calls. Braden is in Kansas City, and he's on the postgame show. Go ahead, bud.
Thanks, Vern, for taking my call. I just want to say that Bray Singer did incredible today, and the whole Royals offense did incredible today, too. By the way, Junior almost hit the cycle, which is pretty cool to see. And, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, 3 hits for Bobby, 3 hits for Salvi, a pair of knocks for Nelson Velasquez and Kyle Isbell. 4 Royals with multiple hit afternoons. All right, Sam in Kansas City, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. I just have a question. I'm wondering, is there any fan who is out there at the stadium this weekend, like any of the 39,000 fan opening day game or any of the fans there today, who thinks we need a new baseball stadium? Is there any fan out there who is out there this afternoon who thinks, wishes that they were in a better baseball atmosphere than where they were sitting? You know, if there is, I'd like to hear one, just one.
Were you out here today, Sam?
No, but I know it was fabulous. I heard listening to the game on the radio. You know, that was exciting. And you couldn't have a better baseball atmosphere.
Well, you certainly, well, Sam, you could. I mean, there were 10,000 people here. You know, I'd like to see a lot more.
Yes.
So.
Well, I guess it's because it was Easter. That's disappointing. But still, even the 10,000 were there. There's probably none that wished, that thought that they could improve the stadium.
I don't know if you can speak in generalizations like that, that nobody, I'm sure one of the 13,005 people that walked through the turnstiles today are going to vote yes on Tuesday. But I understand your point. I got you. And Sam, you'll be voting on Tuesday, right? Okay. I mean, everyone has the power, and you know, you can go out and campaign, and you can vote, and you can, but whining does nothing. Complaining on social media does nothing. Go do something about it. Go vote. It's very simple. Go campaign. But enough of your whining, right? We're going to have so much whining here in this presidential election, right? I mean, come on. Just go vote. We'll see what happens on Tuesday. And the Royals just won 11-0. 913-586-7610. Text line's always available for you. 913-586-7610. Rally Mantis was out here today loving on Brady Singer. How could you not? When he's got those two pitches. Now, you saw a few sweepers in there, the changeup, of course, but man, that slider was devastating, and he was commanding the sinker throughout. Seven innings of three-hit baseball, and it was complete control today for Brady Singer from the outset. A six-pitch first inning, a pair of punch-outs to start off the second, a 1-2-3 third, fourth, a pair of punch-outs to start off the fifth, works around a one-out double in the sixth. And how about the way that he finished off this game? Seventh inning, leadoff double followed by a hit batsman. Puts two on with nobody out. I understand it's a 11-run game at this point. It's not necessarily the highest of leverage. But if you know anything about Brady Singer, he's a competitor and he wants a zero on the board. Because don't get it twisted, guys. I brought this up to Brady in spring training. I'm telling him, man, with the addition of Waka and Lugo, that's got to feel like such a weight off your shoulders that it's no longer on you every fifth day to stop the bleeding. Or it's not, hey, Brady, if you don't win, man, it's going to be a rough go for a while for the team. That's no longer the case, man. That's got to feel great. And I loved Brady's response to that. He said, well, it's certainly nice having more talent around me, but I want that pressure to remain on my shoulders. I think we should all feel that pressure of it's on me to go out there and lead the team to victory. That if I don't pitch well, we might not have enough to get it done. I want that type of pressure, because if we all feel that type of pressure, well, now we're competing with one another. Now we're getting the best out of ourselves and one another. And when that happens, that's when you have a, maybe not a dominating rotation, but a rotation good enough to find yourself in the postseason at the end of the regular season. I'm not going to compare any team three games into the season to a championship ball club, but we could talk about 2016, 2014. James Shields is the best of the bunch, without question, but man, Jeremy Guthrie gave you a chance 80% of the time. Jason Vargas gave you a chance to win 80% of the time. Chris Young gave you a chance to win. Edinson Volquez gave you a chance to win four out of every five games that they took the ball. That's depth. That's stability. That's what every organization is pining for. We'll see Michael Wacha tomorrow. And I understand we have 159 games to go, but this is why I've put so much of my focus on these young bats, finding confidence early in the season, doing the little things, executing properly, winning in the margins, and performing in those key spots that ultimately, more times than not, dictate who wins and loses. Not saying the Royals need to run roughshod over the league. What I'm saying is don't drown. Stay afloat. Because if you can get to the end of May, if you can get to June, and these young bats, these six hitters.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B-plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B-minus or a C-plus life, because when you're living a B or B-plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A-plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Players that returned from last year's opening day, if you can give them confidence early, have them able to slow their heart rate in the big moments, to execute what the scoreboard dictates you do in that at-bat, man, you got the pitching to stay in the race. If you can maintain through May, to me, there's no reason why you can't maintain through July. Which means we're playing exciting baseball over the final 50 games. And it's been since 2016, 2017, since we've been able to truly enjoy it. Truly enjoy the fall setting in at Kauffman Stadium. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Do we have our guest? No, we do not. Okay, then that's fine. We'll keep taking the calls. We'll head inside that Royals clubhouse momentarily, but I see Gabriel in Lawrence kind enough to call us up. What's going on?
Hey, Josh, good to hear from you, man. Happy Easter. I haven't had a chance to tune in yet this year, so stop me if you've heard this before. There was a lot of kind of pining on Twitter, those kind of stat head guys talking about the tools being there for Michael Garcia. And I know it's only been three games, but he looks pretty good. Do you think the breakout's real? You know, he had a solid year last year for what it is. But he looks pretty legit right now. He's hitting the ball hard. Tell me your thoughts. Thanks.
Listen, I was on with Cody and Gold on opening day, and they asked about Michael. And, you know, this is a guy that was very consistent last year as far as answering the bell, playing a solid D, and I appreciate the phone call. It's not easy hitting leadoff in your rookie campaign. Yeah, Michael, I thought, was one of the few guys that passed the evaluation season. But Cody and Gold were asking, is there more power in there? And I said, I think he's a doubles guy, a gap-to-gap guy with the attention on, you know, up the middle and the other way. But no, I don't think he's going to be a 20-home run guy. I say that, and then he comes out and hits two home runs in the first three games of the season, and I'm reminded of what J.J. Piccolo, Royals general manager, had to say about Michael Garcia on opening day. I loved the dismount. Listen to the GM on Michael.
Yeah, we have a lot of confidence in Michael. And I think over the course of my career, what's a common trait that great players have, and it's fearlessness. And Michael has a fearlessness on the field. He doesn't mind what position he plays. We all know he can play shortstop, but on this team, he's playing third base. We saw an immediate improvement last year defensively with him being down there. We have a lot of confidence he can move to second base and be a really good second baseman as well. So he's just a talented defender. But I think it's the fearlessness that gives us comfort that not only can he compete right now, but he'll get even better in the coming years. So we have a lot of belief in Michael being better than just an average major league player. We think he can do some great things in this game and be a name that people around baseball recognize.
And this works out perfectly because kind enough to call us up following this 11-0 drubbing of the Twins is the aforementioned Michael Garcia, who took a 2-2 fastball up middle in and belted it over the left field wall for his second home run. Michael, thank you very much for the time. We just heard from your general manager, who says, we believe that Michael Garcia is the type of player that everyone in baseball is going to know. What does that make you feel?
It's meant too much for me, you know. Q give me the opportunity to play every day and just be here to help the team, try to get the wins we can get possible.
So are you a home run hitter? Am I to expect that you got 20 home runs in you?
I just want to go out and play every day, you know. So what I can do, but I just try to get more base and try to hit the team.
All right, having a little trouble hearing you. Michael Garcia, kind enough to join us after a 1-for-4 performance. Royals put 11 runs on the board. Michael, what can you say about the performance of Brady Singer this afternoon?
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and thank you for giving me the support. And I just be here for this city.
All right. Well, Michael, thank you very much for calling us up, man. We appreciate your time, and keep it up.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. Well, a little rough connection there with Michael, but I appreciate his attempt to join us nonetheless. I wanted to ask him about, if you see the highlight, or if you were one of the, well, they announced 13,000 in the building, go back and watch his reaction to that home run. I mean, it's not Venezuelan League, Michael. You know, you didn't get that type of bad flip. That's going to make Yasiel Puig go crazy. But he did give his dugout a look that can only be described as stunting. I know I'm not the best messenger of that. It might not sound right, but that's a dude that's ready to stunt on the entire division and hopefully all of the American League. 913-586-7610. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Juan. And a high drive. The wind will help it. Back goes Kirilov. To the fence. To the wall and gone. Salvador Perez.
Big time stuff from a big time player. Salvador Perez. A 2-2 changeup down and away. As Denny said, wind helped out, pushed it over the left field wall. Career home run number 247 for the great number 13. Salvi now 70 homers shy of George Brett's franchise record. And did you see Salvi after hitting that home run? He, you know, smashes forearms with everyone and then is dapping up Nelson Velasquez, who was stepping into the on-deck circle, and then he daps up a bat boy, and then he makes sure the other bat boy gives him a high five. The other bat boy's, you know, disheveled, picking up, you know, donuts and bats over here, and Salvi, hey, Poppy, give me some love. Salvi's three-run first-inning home run put the Royals in front, and they would never turn back. Salvi comes up in the second inning with the man on third and one out. A six-pitch at-bat ends with Salvi grounding one up the middle, plating Bobby Witt Jr. and putting the boys up 6-0. They would go on to win 11-0, and they stay afloat in the deep end. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Lee in Kansas City. Lee, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, we're on the way home, went to the game this afternoon. It was beautiful outside. We were sitting on the first base side, and man, takeaway from the game, just watching Salvi play is just so much fun. You know, interacting with all the other players and, you know, umpires and heckling, throwing balls in the fans, and pace of the game was awesome. So had a great time at the game. Another thing is just, you know, how hot, you know, a start. I know we're only three games in, but Bobby Witt's got. You know, we've got Mahomes for the Chiefs, you know, MVP Pat. You know, do you think think we've got another MVP on our hands?
Sure does look like it. A guy finished seventh in the American League last year, and if we're being honest, he really didn't turn it on until the second half. So certainly, yeah, had the sixth best odds to win the MVP coming into this season, and through the first, as you mentioned, only three games, but whatever. They've still been a very entertaining three games to watch. The 23-year-old is hitting .545 with an OPS north of 1,800. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, very, very much. Very much so. Appreciate the phone call. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. Question here on the text line about Bobby Witt Jr. and, you know, what kind of conversations do people around baseball have when it comes to Bobby Witt Jr.? It's from Drake in Midtown. What do other insiders think about Bobby? What's the talk in the press box? Well, Drake, like I mentioned, man, seventh for the American League MVP last year. That's voted on by the writers, by other media members, other insiders. It's much like I've been saying really throughout spring training. There's nothing that is out of the realm of possibility for Bobby Witt Jr. Nothing where you go, nothing that's already been done in the game that I believe he's incapable of doing. Nothing. I mean, okay, Joe DiMaggio's hitting streak fine. You know, hitting 400. You know what I'm talking about. Reasonable numbers. Sometimes unreasonable numbers that have been put up of late. Bobby can match, if not exceed, all of them. There is nothing that is... nothing that I would call hyperbolic, an exaggeration. As far as predictions for Bobby, what did Michael Jordan say? The ceiling is the limit, something like, you know, sky is the limit. Well, you understand. 913-586-7610. What I want to know is that excitement you felt Thursday morning, opening day 2024, Bobby and Selby, and they're all here, and here we go. That excitement on opening day. Here we are 3 games later, 4 days later. Has that excitement level gone up, down, stayed the same? What say you? Royals win 11-0. We go back to the phones and talk with Andy in Blue Springs. You're on the postgame show. Go ahead. I think we lost Andy. Let's try Jake in Lawrence. Jake, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh, Vern. Oh, Vern. Oh, my gosh. Turn me up. I'm so excited. The Royals are back. I just want them to perform in May and through June. I'm not asking for a whole lot. I just ask to place better than third place, and that will satisfy me, Vern.
I'd take that right now. Top two, no question about it. Thank you very much, Jake. Love that energy. Sounded like you were screaming even before you called in. Just, hey, I gotta take this energy somewhere. I appreciate you bringing it to the postgame show, Jake. Hope we hear from you throughout the season. Let's stay in Kansas. Talk with Dempsey, who's in Olathe. Dempsey, what's going on?
I thought it felt really good for the Royals to go out there and not put up a dud against the Twins, especially with the tough Orioles team coming up. How do you feel after this game going into Baltimore, which is a very hostile environment with that high-powered offense?
No question about it. Listen, appreciate the phone call, Demps. I feel, to answer my own question, I'm exactly the same as I was on opening day. Because I came into the season believing that the pitching is the strength. They haven't had this type of depth in the rotation in darn near a decade. And it came down to the bats. It came down to executing in those key situations that ultimately dictate those jump ball 54 games. Win 54, lose 54, what do you do with the other 54, right? Frustrated after the opener because the Royals didn't execute in those situations. I was, I don't want to say pleased after yesterday's loss, but I was very happy with Seth Lugo, happy with MJ Melendez and Bobby Witt Jr., and I was ready to turn the page. I'll put it that way. It was a turn the page type of game yesterday because the guys that let you down yesterday are all guys with track records. I can't wait to watch Will Smith again. I knew that Salvi was going to turn it around. Can't wait to see Hunter Renfro, what he can do coming up in this series in Baltimore. And to answer your question about the O's, that's a behemoth. Offensively, it's a behemoth. The finale on Wednesday is going to be very difficult with Corbin Burns, but you got Cole Reagans. That game's going to come down to executing in those key spots. You get a leadoff double, that guy's got to score against Corbin Burns. You cannot let it slip through your fingers like it did against Pablo Lopez. But my hope is one win. Give me one win in Baltimore. Again, I'm not getting out ahead of my skis with this team. We get to June, July, maybe I start asking for more. But right now, I just want them to maintain. Doggy paddle, backstroke, breaststroke, do whatever you got to do. Just don't drown here in the deep end the first 6 weeks of the season. Mission accomplished against the Twins. Waka, Marsh, Reagans coming up 3 against the defending American League East champion, Baltimore Orioles. So back-to-back division winners to open up the season. I'd take 2-4. How about you? Let's go to Andy, who's on 610 Sports Radio. Andy, go ahead.
Hey, Vern. How you doing, man? Happy Easter to you.
Right back to you, man.
Hey, bud. Hey, I appreciate you letting me be part of the show. First win of the season, first positive postgame of the season. I don't have as much energy, I guess, that I'm showing, but I can tell you what, two things. One, on the offense, it was nice to see everybody doing their part to actually show us that what they're capable of from top to bottom. I mean, Velasquez, even, I mean, that homer he had, he was kind of just putting in kind of a statement, it seemed like, on it. So I love seeing Salvi in the field. I love seeing him at first. I feel like he's more engaged than when he's just straight D. Just your thoughts on what we'll see with that through the season, because I love seeing him out there. I mean, when Singer and they all regrouped after, what was it, a hit and a walk, man on first and second and the third or the fourth, they regrouped. It seemed like Salvi was really, like, dictating the conversation. So to see him and Fermin, which, by the way, Singer and Fermin, great game plan today. I mean, freaking executed that. The slider was nasty, but, I mean, come on. The sinker is now, as they emphasize on the telecast, I mean, the sinker, they, you know, a higher throw rate, obviously a higher positive rate, and it's great to see Singer start the year off that. The confidence is going to be awesome. So, but anyway, just want to get your thoughts on those two things. And just like Big T, Casey Moe, I'm going to leave my sign off. Let's go blue!
I love it! I mean, I like the let's go blue part. As a Michigan fan, you know I love that. The fart noise, you know, I'm a immature guy, so fart noises. Nah, you know what? I don't want to encourage that. That can't become a thing. It's fine for you, but no one else. No more fart noises on the show. Andy's the only person that's allowed to. Andy and I are the only people that are allowed to make fart noises on this show. All right. As far as first base and seeing Salvi at first base, yeah, get used to it. Well, what does get used to it mean? It's Vinny's job, right? But Salvi's first choice as the backup. You know, Nick Lofton can man first base as well. You know, you say it seems like he's more engaged, and I can understand that. But that's because he's a catcher at first base. Right? So he is still in the catcher's mindset. He's still calling the game along with Freddie and Brady. You know, he's still the captain. He still feels the same responsibility at first base that he does behind the dish. And you saw it countless times last year, and you'll see it even more so this year. Salvi making the mound visit from first base. Now, Freddie's a bit well, not a bit, but a lot more comfortable in the role as a big leaguer this year. So certainly you'll, and Freddie's not one to shy away from leadership, of course, but it's still Salvi's team. You saw Salvi initiate a lot of those mound visits last year when Freddie was first getting his feet wet. And I think you'll still see that moving forward. Now a way that could change is if, as the season progresses, you're going to want to get Salvi more DH days, less first base days. Give those knees and hips and everything, the back, the shoulder, give it all a rest. So I think you'll see more DH days in the second half than you will in the first half. But first base, DH, behind the dish, you're going to see Salvi out there because, A, he's one of the three best players on the team. And B, well, B would be winning, right? Of course, it's always about winning and helping the team and all that, but let's not get it twisted. Salvi's got to put up numbers for about five more years if he's going to make it into Cooperstown. He's got to pump in another 20 home runs, I think, each of the next 3 to 5 years if he's going to reach Cooperstown. And as far as Brady Singer, I don't think he ever struggles for confidence. He's a very headstrong, confident, self-assured young man. Now, of course, there's always some doubt. Everyone has a little doubt. But let's not forget, Brady Singer was a guy that would have been your opening day starter last year had it not been for that goofy World Baseball Classic experience. Let's not forget, the year before that, Brady Singer was clearly the best pitcher on this team. And you dive into his numbers, he was one of the best pitchers that the Royals had in the last 10 years, that 2022 that he put up. Shoot, you could go back to his debut season in 2020 when they had nothing. They had nothing in the rotation. They're giving the ball to a kid that's straight out of Double A. Another one coming up from A-ball. Just desperate for arms. And Brady went out there and wore it at the big league level. Pitched well at times, but still had to gut through some rough outings in 2020. Singer to me, and this is a reflection of how things are different in 2024. Singer's one of my three pendulum swingers, my X, Y, and Z to the season. If these three guys meet or exceed expectations, the Royals are going to the playoffs. Or at least the Royals will compete for the postseason into September. In years past, those three names were, I remember 2020, it's Mondesi and Singer and Kowar. And then it's Singer and Lynch and Mondesi. And, players that hadn't done enough in the big leagues to warrant that type of pressure should not have been that vital to the success of that year's team. But now, Brady's in his fifth year. Cole Reagans was the American League Pitcher of the Month. MJ Melendez had an OPS north of 800 in the second half last season. These guys have all done stuff. Very good stuff, big time stuff at the big league level. And now those are the three guys that I think will dictate whether or not this team's competing into September. Singer, Reagans, and MJ Melendez. If those three guys click in 2024, look out. There's no reason why you can't win the division. Royals win 11-0 in salvage one against the defending division champion Minnesota Twins. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Pam in North Kansas City. Pam, always nice hearing from you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay, Vern. How are you?
I'm great. Always better when I hear from you.
Happy Easter to you.
Right back at you.
I'm just curious. What do you think it's going to take, and I'm thinking of maybe a winning April, to get more attendance? I heard 13,000 people out there on a Sunday afternoon. Is it because it was a holiday? or is it because of what they expected?
I would say more the latter than the former, to be quite honest with you. I thought, well, I guess I don't know, but I've been to plenty of ballparks on Easter Sundays that are packed. But I think it has more to do with, you know, I've talked a lot about track record. You know, I'm not worried about Salvi coming into today, not worried about Will Smith or Hunter Renfro because of their track record. Unfortunately, the track record of this franchise is horrible months of April, bad starts to the season. So I think that might be keeping people away. Appreciate the phone call, Pam. I think the way that you fix that is winning and winning consistently. And the only way you can win consistently is it's going to take months to do that. I mean, that's why I'm asking for them to maintain through May. Just don't drown in the deep end over these first 6 weeks, because if they can do that, I think June you start to see people showing up. And then if that keeps up, I think it's packed in August and September. I mean, I remember 2014, nobody was bought in. Nobody. I sat next to Ned Yost in a post-game press conference in the second half of the season, and he implored the city, hey, come out and support these guys. Playing their tails off, playing good baseball. And then he got crushed. People were crushing Ned Yost. Don't tell us what to do. This organization stunk forever. We're not coming out there. Then they won. People started to show up at the end of August into September, and then the magic carpet ride of that postseason, and then it was just packed house after packed house throughout 2015, throughout 2016, and into 2017. So you want this place full? You want to see 25, 30,000 night in and night out? You got to put together two strong months of baseball. And what I'm asking for is not 2 months of strong baseball. I'm asking for 2 months of survival. So what I'm asking for, you know, don't drown. That doesn't bring the people out. No, you got to have a winning record over the first 2 months if you want this place packed. I'm not asking for a winning record. I just want you to survive. Boy, did they survive today. Actually, they ate well today. Three runs in the first, six in the second, and it was over after that. Royals go on to win 11-0. We'll get back to your thoughts after this. And they go on to win 11-0. Bobby Witt Jr. goes down and gets a 1-0 fastball. Very Mike Trout-esque. 434 to dead center field, the 51st home run of his career. That's just 311 games. Second most by a Royal through that many games. Can you name the only Royal to hit more home runs in 311 games? Correct, yeah. Bo Jackson, that's right. The two greatest athletes in Royals history, Bo Jackson and Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby today, 3-for-5 with three runs scored. One out single in the first, he would score on Salvi's three-run blast. Triple in the second, he would score on Salvi's RBI single up the middle, and then that solo bomb you just heard as called by Jake Eisenberg on 610 Sports Radio. So the offense puts 11 on the board. Brady Singer punches out 10. 19 swings and misses for Brady Singer in his season debut. All right, phone lines are open. 913-586-7610. My game notes following this 11-0 bludgeoning of the Twins are brought to you by Jay Southland Toe. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Toe. All right, let's go to Chris in Kansas City. You're on the postgame show. Chris, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've been to the three games so far, and I've seen the both sides of the Royals, the low end and the high end here. I honestly think, looking at this team and the way they look on the field, that they're more likely to be like a 3-6 run a game, like they're capable of 3-6 runs a game. And I'm with you. I think that if they can get through May, maybe 4 or 5 games under 500, which I think they can do it, I think this season's looking really good for them.
I agree. Chris, I'm with you. Appreciate the phone call. So much so that even in your opening there, appreciate the phone call, You say, you know, I've seen them at the high end and seen them at the low end. I don't know which game would be the low end. I guess the opener. But even in that opener, you had a quality start from Cole Reagans, and you had some quality stuff out of the bullpen, most notably from Angel Zerpa. Three straight quality starts is there's just no way we can call that the low end. There's going to be a bad start at some point, a bad start coupled with bad offense. That's the low end to me. That's a bad baseball team. But losing to Pablo Lopez, look, I was frustrated after the opener. Don't get it twisted. Losing to the maybe the best healthy right-hander in the American League, to me, there was no shame in Thursday's opening day loss. What had me so frustrated was those little things, the offensive execution, which, Chris, it sounds like you and I are in lockstep as far as those are the guys that are going to dictate whether or not this team can be 3, 4, 5 games back of 500 at the end of May. Because it certainly appears as if the pitching is going to give you a chance. Now, they've done more than give you a chance over the first three games, but that's what I'm expecting. Just 5, 6 innings and a chance to win. You get that 80% of the time. You get that 4 out of every 5 games. There's just no doubt about it that the Royals are going to be in it. The only way, in my opinion, they wouldn't be in it is if one of the divisions, you know, the East and the West, you know, if we often talk about the only way for a team in this division to win a spot in the postseason is by winning the division. So the only way I believe this team isn't in it, if those things happen, if you are getting a chance to win from your starting pitcher 4 out of every 5 games, is if there is a juggernaut in this division. I don't think there is. But you never know. We're not even a week into the season. All right, let me go through a few of these text messages real quick. The text line's always open for you. And if you ever miss the post-game show or, you know, driving to work and you wanted to hear what people were saying about the game, subscribe to the podcast. Do me a solid. It's on the Odyssey app. It's wherever you get your podcast. Just search All Things Vern. Subscribe, like, do all that stuff that people that are smarter than me ask you to do or things I should be asking you to do. You know what I'm talking about. All Things Vern podcast. Check it out. Eric in Independence writes in, Vern, what a thrill to see Bobby continue his epic output. Makes that big contract earlier easier to stomach and builds more hope for the future. Well, certainly builds hope, Eric. I haven't really heard many people that are nervous about the Bobby Witt Jr. contract. Honestly, you might be the first. I'm not saying you're the only one, and I'm not really that active on social media, but I haven't heard queasiness, upset stomachs for the Bobby Witt Jr. contract. Certainly not. I mean, I have zero issue, zero concern, zero worry. Zero. I mean, he's like the total package. He's just as you know, Kyle Isbell says he's the best teammate I've ever had. Salvi says he's going to be the greatest Royal of all time. Could it be more humble? Could it be more polite? Could it be more athletic? Could it be stronger, faster? Total package. The fact that this franchise secured all of his 20s is amazing. I honestly, I knew they wanted to. I didn't know if they'd be able to convince them to do it. They did. And now we all get to reap the benefits. Text line 913-586-7610. Ryan from Olathe. Vern, starting pitching like this is the foundation to becoming a team that wins a lot of games. No doubt about it. Gabe and Independence. Vern, just a great all-around game. Starting pitching has been great, and the offense did what we all think it can do. Yeah, I don't know about 11 runs, and I'm sure you're not alluding to that, putting up 11 runs, but you know, Salvi showing the power, Bobby showing everything, right? Bobby showing off this the tool belt. MJ ripped one into right center field for that second inning double. Nelson Velasquez destroyed a baseball. Michael Garcia flexed after his second home run of the year. So, yeah, I'm with you. Caleb from Kansas City tells us that his excitement is up from opening day. Because Vern, Bobby is locked in and the starters have been better than anyone could have imagined. Yeah, I can't argue with that. Can't argue with that. I expected them to be good. I expected them to give you a chance. 5-6 innings and a chance to win. That's my expectation. 4 out of every 5 games from this rotation. But no, I certainly would not have predicted 2 earned runs in 19 innings. 23 strikeouts from the rotation. A .95 ERA. Just the 4th time in franchise history Royals starting pitchers have recorded at least 6 innings and allowed 2 runs or fewer in each of the first 3 games of the season. Hasn't happened in 14 years. Royals win today 11-0. We go back to the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 816, Vern, simply put, Michael Garcia is a star. Hey, if you want to learn more about where Michael is from, his cousin, Ronald Acuna, posted a little behind the scenes of his personality, his upbringing, and what makes him him in the Players Tribune. Talks about their hometown in Venezuela, about his quiet desire, his lifelong desire to be famous. Check it out. Ronald Acuna Jr. It's a great piece of the Players Tribune. And the way that he describes the ballpark or the diamond or the sand lot that him and Michael and Eske and all of them grew up on, pretty interesting. Check it out. From the 913, Vern Sexy, that today was also the day that we got to see the beginning of Jordan Lyles becoming the next Wade Davis and Luke Kochhaver. Yeah, how about those change-ups, putting away Waldner and Jeffers? Yeah, nice to see Jordan Lyles come in and pick up those final 3 outs. Congratulations, Matt Sauer, on the big league debut. Brady Singer with 10 punch-outs. Just a great day at the ballpark. And now the internal competition continues, and the ball is handed to Michael Wacha. He makes his Royals debut tomorrow evening, going opposite Orioles righty Dean Kramer. It's a 5:35 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another one coming up from A-Ball. Just desperate for arms. And Brady went out there and wore it at the big league level. Pitched well at times, but still had to gut through some rough outings in 2020. Singer to me, and this is a reflection of how things are different in 2024. Singer's one of my 3 pendulum swingers, my X, Y, and Z to the season. If these 3 guys meet or exceed expectations, the Royals are going to the playoffs. Or at least the Royals will compete for the postseason into September. In years past, those 3 names were, I remember 2020, it's Mondesi and Singer and Kowar. And then it's Singer and Lynch and Mondesi and players that hadn't done enough in the big leagues to warrant that type of pressure should not have been that vital to the success of that year's team. But now, Brady's in his 5th year. Cole Reagans was the American League Pitcher of the Month. MJ Melendez had an OPS north of 800 in the second half last season. These guys have all done stuff. Very good stuff, big-time stuff at the big league level. And now those are the three guys that I think will dictate whether or not this team's competing into September. Singer, Reagans, and MJ Melendez. If those three guys click in 2024, look out. There's no reason why you can't win the division. Royals win 11-0 in salvage one against the defending division champion Minnesota Twins. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Pam in North Kansas City. Pam, always nice hearing from you. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing okay, Vern. How are you?
I'm great. Always better when I hear from you.
Happy Easter to you.
Right back at you.
I'm just curious. What do you think it's going to take? I'm thinking of maybe a winning April to get more attendance. I heard 13,000 people out there on a Sunday afternoon. Is it because it was a holiday, or is it because of what they expected?
I would say more the latter than the former, to be quite honest with you. I thought, I guess I don't know, but I've been to plenty of ballparks on Easter Sundays that are packed, but I think it has more to do with, you know, I've talked a lot about track record. You know, I'm not worried about Salvi coming into today, not worried about Will Smith or Hunter Renfro because of their track record. Unfortunately, the track record of this franchise is horrible months of April, bad starts to the season. So I think that might be keeping people away. Appreciate the phone call, Pam. I think the way that you fix that is winning and winning consistently. And the only way you can win consistently is it's going to take months to do that. I mean, that's why I'm asking for them to maintain through May. Just don't drown in the deep end over these first 6 weeks, because if they can do that, I think June you start to see people showing up. Then, if that keeps up, I think it's packed in August and September. I mean, I remember 2014, nobody was bought in. Nobody. I sat next to Ned Yost in a post-game press conference in the second half of the season, and he implored the city, hey, come out and support these guys. Playing their tails off, playing good baseball. And then he got crushed. People were crushing Ned Yost. Don't tell us what to do. This organization stunk forever. We're not coming out there. And they won. People started to show up at the end of August into September. And then the magic carpet ride of that postseason. And then it was just packed house after packed house throughout 2015, throughout 2016, and into 2017. So you want this place full? You want to see 25, 30,000? Night in and night out, you got to put together two strong months of baseball. And what I'm asking for is not 2 months of strong baseball. I'm asking for 2 months of survival. So what I'm asking for, you know, don't drown. That doesn't bring the people out. No, you got to have a winning record over the first 2 months if you want this place packed. I'm not asking for a winning record. I just want you to survive. Boy, did they survive today. Actually, they ate well today. Three runs in the first, six in the second, and it was over after that. Royals go on to win 11-0. We'll get back to your thoughts after this. And they go on to win 11-0. Bobby Witt Jr. goes down and gets a 1-0 fastball. Very Mike Trout-esque. 434 to dead center field, the 51st home run of his career. That's just 311 games. Second most by a Royal through that many games. Can you name the only Royal to hit more home runs in 311 games? Correct, yeah. Bo Jackson, that's right. The two greatest athletes in Royals history. Bo Jackson and Bobby Witt Jr. Bobby today, 3-for-5 with 3 runs scored. 1-out single in the first. He would score on Salvi's 3-run blast. Triple in the second. He would score on Salvi's RBI single up the middle. And then that solo bomb you just heard as called by Jake Eisenberg on 610 Sports Radio. So the offense puts 11 on the board. Brady Singer punches out 10, 19 swings and misses for Brady Singer in his season debut. All right, phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. My game notes following this 11-0 bludgeoning of the Twins are brought to you by Jay Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. All right, let's go to Chris in Kansas City. You're on the postgame show. Chris, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I've been to the three games so far, and I've seen the both sides of the Royals, the low end and the high end here. I honestly think, looking at this team and the way they look on the field, that they're more likely to be like a 3-6 run a game, like they're capable of 3-6 runs a game. And I'm with you. I think that if they can get through May, maybe 4 or 5 games under 500, which I think they can do it, I think this season's looking really good for them.
I agree. Chris, I'm with you. Appreciate the phone call so much so that even in your opening there, appreciate the phone call. You say, you know, I've seen them at the high end and seen them at the low end. I don't know which game would be the low end. I guess the opener. But even in that opener, you had a quality start from Cole Reagans, and you had some quality stuff out of the bullpen, most notably from Angel Zerpa. Three straight quality starts is there's just no way we can call that the low end. There's going to be a bad start at some point, a bad start coupled with bad offense. That's the low end to me. That's a bad baseball team. But losing to Pablo Lopez, look, I was frustrated after the opener. Don't get it twisted. Losing to the maybe the best healthy right-hander in the American League, to me there was no shame in Thursday's opening day loss. What had me so frustrated was those little things, the offensive execution, which, Chris, it sounds like you and I are in lockstep as far as those are the guys that are going to dictate whether or not this team can be 3, 4, 5 games back of 500 at the end of May. Because it certainly appears as if the pitching is going to give you a chance. Now, they've done more than give you a chance over the first three games, but that's what I'm expecting. Just 5, 6 innings and a chance to win. You get that 80% of the time, you get that 4 out of every 5 games, there's just no doubt about it that the Royals are going to be in it. The only way, in my opinion, they wouldn't be in it is if one of the divisions, you know, the East and the West, you know, if we often talk about the only way for a team in this division to win a spot in the postseason is by winning the division. So the only way I believe this team isn't in it, if those things happen, if you are getting a chance to win from your starting pitcher 4 out of every 5 games, is if there is a juggernaut in this division. I don't think there is. But you never know. We're not even a week into the season. All right, let me go through a few of these text messages real quick. The text line's always open for you. And if you ever miss the post-game show or, you know, driving to work and you wanted to hear what people were saying about the game, subscribe to the podcast. Do me a solid. It's on the Odyssey app. It's wherever you get your podcast. Just search All Things Vern. Subscribe, like, do all that stuff that people that are smarter than me ask you to do or things I should be asking you to do. You know what I'm talking about. All Things Vern podcast. Check it out. Eric in Independence writes in, Vern, what a thrill to see Bobby continue his epic output. Makes that big contract earlier easier to stomach and builds more hope for the future. Well, certainly builds hope, Eric. I haven't really heard many people that are nervous about the Bobby Witt Jr. contract. Honestly, you might be the first. I'm not saying you're the only one, and I'm not really that active on social media, but I haven't heard queasiness, upset stomachs for the Bobby Witt Jr. contract. Certainly not. I mean, I have zero issue, zero concern, zero worry. Zero. I mean, he's like the total package. He's just as you know, Kyle Isbell says he's the best teammate I've ever had. Salvi says he's going to be the greatest Royal of all time. Could it be more humble? Could it be more polite? Could it be more athletic? Could it be stronger, faster? Total package. The fact that this franchise secured all of his 20s is amazing. I honestly, I knew they wanted to. I didn't know if they'd be able to convince him to do it. They did. And now we all get to reap the benefits. Text line 913-586-7610. Ryan from Olathe. Vern, starting pitching like this is the foundation to becoming a team that wins a lot of games. No doubt about it. Gabe and Independence. Vern, just a great all-around game. Starting pitching has been great, and the offense did what we all think it can do. Yeah, I don't know about 11 runs, and I'm sure you're not alluding to that, putting up 11 runs, but you know, Salvi showing the power, Bobby showing everything, right? Bobby showing off this the tool belt. Now, MJ ripped one into right center field for that second inning double. Nelson Velasquez destroyed a baseball. Michael Garcia flexed after his second home run of the year. So, yeah, I'm with you. Caleb from Kansas City tells us that his excitement is up from opening day because Vern, Bobby is locked in and the starters have been better than anyone could have imagined. Yeah, I can't argue with that. Can't argue with that. I expected them to be good. I expected them to give you a chance. 5-6 innings and a chance to win. That's my expectation. 4 out of every 5 games from this rotation. But no, I certainly would not have predicted 2 earned runs in 19 innings, 23 strikeouts from the rotation, a .95 ERA. Just the 4th time in franchise history, Royals starting pitchers have recorded at least 6 innings and allowed 2 runs or fewer in each of the first 3 games of the season. Hasn't happened in 14 years. Royals win today 11-0. We go back to the text line, 913-586-7610. From the 816, Vern, simply put, Michael Garcia is a star. Hey, if you want to learn more about where Michael is from, his cousin, Ronald Acuna, posted a little behind the scenes of his personality, his upbringing, and what makes him him in the Players Tribune. Talks about their hometown in Venezuela, about his quiet desire, his lifelong desire to be famous. Check it out. Ronald Acuna Jr. It's a great piece on the Players Tribune. And the way that he... the way that he describes the ballpark or the diamond or the sand lot that him and Michael and Eske and all of them grew up on, pretty interesting. Check it out. From the 913, Vern, sexy that today was also the day that we got to see the beginning of Jordan Lyles becoming the next Wade Davis and Luke Hochaver. Yeah, how about those change-ups, putting away Waldner and Jeffers? Yeah, nice to see Jordan Lyles come in and pick up those final 3 outs. Congratulations, Matt Sauer, on the big league debut. Brady Singer with 10 punch outs. Just a great day at the ballpark. And now the internal competition continues, and the ball is handed to Michael Wacha. He makes his Royals debut tomorrow evening, going opposite Orioles righty Dean Kramer. It's a 5:35 first pitch, and I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 4:30. Royals have a chance to get back to 500. They haven't been 500 after a game since 2022. As a matter of fact, over the last 430-plus games, the Royals have ended them at or above 500 5 times. Be nice to see Bobby get to 500. James Howell, thanks for the help. Kansas City, thanks for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Take care.
You
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
A blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.